A couple of giants from the NASCAR radio world join us on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. I'm your host, Doug Rice. During this offseason, we've had the pleasure of talking with a lot of great media personalities. To name a few, Alan Cuvana and Wendy Venturini, both of PRN, and as of late, the Motor Racing Network. From Fox Sports, Larry McReynolds, Mike Joy, and pit reporter Jamie Little have also dropped by. Kelly Crandall has been a guest, along with the anchor for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, now the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, Adam Alexander, and the anchor from NBC, Lee Diffie, have been on the show. So we will keep that trend rolling today with a couple of folks from the NASCAR radio world. Up first will be Brett McMillan. Brett is the 26-year host of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters and has also been a pit reporter for the Performance Racing Network. We'll talk in-depth about Brett's history, how he got into broadcasting, his transition from being a television anchor in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, to being a mainstay on the Performance Racing Network. And then, of course, we'll get down and talk about the particulars of what we expect in the upcoming 2026 NASCAR season. And after that, Alex Hayden. Alex is one of the co-anchors for the Motor Racing Network. He's been covering NASCAR for 30 years. In addition to his NASCAR coverage, Alex is very busy doing Division II basketball. He also covers golf, and he has a myriad of other sports experiences. So Alex Hayden, co-anchor for the Motor Racing Network, and Brett McMillan of the Performance Racing Network, good enough to join us on this edition of Fast Talk. And as we've said on other shows, if there are some media personalities, primarily from the NASCAR world, that you would like to hear from that we have not yet featured on the show, please reach out to us. You can reach me at RiceMan61 on X, formerly known as Twitter, and we'll try to track those folks down. Coming up next week, we're going to be visiting with Danielle Trotta. Danielle, of course, now is very involved with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and prior to that had been on Fox Television. And Doug Turnbull of the Performance Racing Network, and a very interesting guy and also a major podcaster, will join us on next week's edition of Fast Talk. Coming up today, let's visit with Brett McMillan.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Welcome to this edition of Fast Talk. Over the last couple of months, we have been talking with media members, and we will continue that trend today as we visit with Brett McMillan of the Performance Racing Network and the longtime host of the syndicated show, The Pit Reporters. And obviously, Brett and I have worked together over the last quarter of a century. That sounds like a long time, Brett.
Plus.
That is true.
It has been. We've become great friends over the years, and I value that every day. And it's, we've seen a lot over the years. It's funny. I had the same landmark birthday this year that you had earlier this year. And I happened to have been at a Panthers game the day of my birthday. And I mentioned the number to Jonathan Stewart, former Panther running back. And he goes, "Wow, you've seen a lot."
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
When you get to tell people you remember the first moon landing, it leaves an impression, by the way, folks.
Or JFK's assassination, yep. Or three channels, black and white.
Yep, and they played the national anthem at midnight when they signed
exactly
off.
Exactly right.
So Brett McMillan is with us. And Brett, let's talk first half of this interview about NASCAR and things that made news. We had almost 2 weeks of an antitrust trial between 2311 Front Row Motorsports and NASCAR. They finally settled on day 9. How close do you think NASCAR came, or did they come close at all, to all-out civil war and this will be broken forever?
I don't think it'll be broken forever. I think, and you're a fan of other sports as I am, and you know, we've seen hockey shut down for an entire season. We've seen baseball go through this, and you know, from a fan standpoint, eventually fans forgive and forget, and the action returns, and people return to the stands, and people start watching and listening again, and they forget once the action returns. I think the damage that was done was the veil was lifted on a lot of stuff that the fans and a lot of cases the media had no awareness of, that, you know, that the teams are ultimately losing money left and right. You know, you had Front Row talk about that he's never made money. And this is stuff that I don't think, you know, from the judge from the very beginning said, if this comes to trial, nobody wins. And the fact that it ever got to trial and these numbers started to get out and this information started to get out and these emails got out where people were saying bad things about one another. Yeah, that was the lose-lose in this whole thing. And I think the fact that we got there and the veil got lifted on a lot of this stuff, that was the bad part of this whole thing, that people saw, you know, to use a poor analogy, you know, how the sausage got made, so to speak.
Right.
And how bad, you know, and the financial aspect that fans really don't want to hear about. And I think that was the part that was really bad in this whole thing that could have been avoided. You know, ultimately, when you end up settling after you've gone, what do we get, you know, 8 days into the trial or whatever.
Now, on day 9 is when they settled, on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. All this stuff came out, and that could have been avoided. You know, ultimately, when they ended up settling, you know, this could have all been over. This could have been done months and months and months before. And that, I think, was the bad part of this whole thing, the way this all played out and the information that got out. And, you know, the fact that Richard Childress had to break a non-disclosure agreement that he had been on the verge of selling his team.
And that has not been settled. That's a separate issue. Do you think the fans will notice any outward change as a result of this settlement, or is all of that just internal politics between the teams and NASCAR?
I think in the most part, I think it's internal politics. I mean, it's how the money's being distributed. I mean, I think, you know, fans think drivers make too much. I think fans think the teams make too much. I mean, they've heard they've heard this now, that the teams aren't making a lot of money. They, you know, and again, I go back to what we've seen in other sports. They'll forget the action returns and, you know, they'll hear teams say we're not making enough money. And, you know, and the element that we never really heard is what the tracks are making or not making in this whole situation. That never really came up in this whole thing because the tracks weren't involved in this lawsuit at all. And there's an element there that we really don't know. I mean, you've got, International Speedway Corporation, which is basically NASCAR, and you got Speedway Motorsports, how they're making money or what kind of percentages they're getting in this whole thing, part of this TV money, that never came up. And that's an element here that is going to be the fans don't know about either.
And I don't know at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to be naive, that fans of any sport need to know too much about what goes on behind door number two. It as long as the product on the field, the racetrack, the court, the rink is what you want and you enjoy your fandom, does the internals make any difference to you as a fan?
No, and I don't think it should. I think what the product is, if you're enjoying it, we're in the entertainment business. And I've always laughed about, people get up, you'll hear outside media, not necessarily the athletic media, but other media complain, oh, this guy's making $10 million, or this guy's making $15 million, or whatever. Well, it never seemed to bother anybody that Oprah Winfrey was making $250 million a year. Or that some actor makes $50 million a year on a movie. I mean, or $50 million on a movie. I mean, we're all in the entertainment business. I think the problem is when some athlete holds out. First of all, I think the problem is in a lot of sports, you're wearing your city on your shirt, and that's what bothers people, is you're representing a city, not, as an actors and actresses are representing themselves. But when somebody sits there and goes, I'm holding out for another $5 million a year because I'm just trying to feed my family and I'm only making $20 million a year. That's when it becomes a problem. And we haven't heard a lot of that with the drivers. So I think that's been good for the sport of NASCAR that we haven't heard much of that.
Well, I feel like NASCAR, to use a tired cliche, dodged a huge bullet here. They will move on. The trial is already settled into the dust as we turn the corner for next year. Brad, I talk a lot about the big three, and a lot of people do. You've got Penske, you have Gibbs and Hendrick, and they rule the day. Occasionally a track house or somebody else will sneak in and get a win, but not too often. Do you see any time in the future that somebody else gets to the level of what we see from the monstrous big three?
I don't think so, not in the near future. I mean, I've seen, it was interesting to hear, and I was going to say that the three of them really dodged getting involved in this whole trial, but they didn't because Gibbs was involved. So Heather Gibbs got up there and gave a very emotional testimony during her part about how Joe Gibbs was very concerned about losing the whole business. But, right now, I mean, they've got the four teams. They're grandfathered in with the four teams. Well, of course, Penske has three plus the Wood brothers. They're the
Four.
ones grand. Yeah, they're the yeah, exactly. They're the ones grandfathered in on this thing. And teams are trying. But we keep talking about, people keep throwing out salary cap and things like that. I don't know how you enforce that. Because so much of what's done is back at the shop. You can limit the number of people you take to the track and things like that. And you can mandate that everybody has to use this car and these parts that NASCAR is supplying and so forth. But what you can't mandate and can't limit is what's going on back at the shop. And that's where so much of this is done now. I mean, you and I both hear it every week. All of us hear it. It's what you arrive at the track with, because
Right.
so little can be done to the cars once you get there. And you're seeing these guys, these are the ones that had, they can pay the people and they're going out there and getting the people. Look what Legacy Motor Club's done, their improvement this year. And Jimmie Johnson said it a year, we heard him a year ago. We realized that what we needed to take care of the infrastructure first. We'd made the mistake of doing it, trying to, do the people at the track. We realized we needed to take care of the infrastructure back at the shop and start there.
Well, I think that it's impactful. I don't see a big change happening anytime soon because I ascribe to a theory of critical mass that these three teams have more of everything. You mentioned it. They have more money, a lot more money. They have more people. They have phalanx of engineers, and they can find the little bitty incremental improvements that maybe a track house can't find or a front row motorsports can't come up with, as hard as they like or aspire. And as long as they hold that advantage, just don't see this changing. We're chatting with Brett McMillan, the Performance Racing Network, and longtime host of The Pit Reporters, and we'll continue our conversation right after this.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, talking with Brett McMillan. We chewed on a few of the issues, especially some of the legal ramifications from this past year. But Brett, let's chat about you. A lot of people may or may not be aware, if you're in the Charlotte area, that you had a television career before you became a career radio guy. What were you doing?
Spent in Charlotte, it's been 13 years doing weekend sports, mostly at the local ABC affiliate. And, you know, it's interesting how that business has changed. I sit there, Doug, and actually, I'll be honest, I watch very little local news now. The business has changed so much. And I talked to a lot of the folks. It was from in Charlotte from 1980 through 93. And really got to be there and be involved in what I would almost call the glory years of being able to cover local sports, before network TV, you know, before cable really took over everything. And, you know, back when you could go out and do a lot of stuff, and before the consultants really took over everything and almost eliminated sports from local news. So, it was a lot of fun. Got to do, I think I went to 7 Final Fours and, you know, went to Daytona about every year. And so, it was a good time.
I think folks that watch local news now, maybe that weren't alive then or didn't pay any attention, you would have a team of people just doing sports. Individual stations might have a half a dozen people that just did sports. And you got huge blocks of time on the 6 o'clock news every day. And now you're lucky if you have one, maybe two people doing sports, and you might get what, 90 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I say, 45 seconds, 90 seconds. I mean, Yeah, we had, we had an hour news at 6 o'clock, and we'd get 7 minutes for sports. And on the weekends, at 11 o'clock on the weekends, we'd get 6.5 minutes for sports, on the 11 o'clock news. And yeah, now it's very little time. I mean, I know some stations have like their special shows that, like, they'll do maybe a half hour show, and but that's a rare, those are more rare than anything else at this point in time. But yeah, it's changed. I mean, I think back to, being able to go cover games and actually be able to, sit there on the sidelines and actually shoot games, and now before television really took over everything. I mean, network television really took over everything.
Now, I think the people listening to this show know you from being on PRN for hosting the Pit Reporters for 26 years. But you've also got a nice little side hustle with the NFL, don't you?
I do some of the I get to do some of the post game shows for the Carolina Panthers on their radio network, and that's been a lot of fun. I've done that off and on for the entire run of the Panthers, 30 years now with the Carolina Panthers, so that's been a lot of fun, and we've seen a lot of interesting years. Panthers still looking for their first instance of back-to-back winning seasons, which is kind of amazing 30 years into the franchise.
But it's funny, this has been for me a great example of how franchises mature. And now you've got three generations or three decades of fandom for a local team, and you can watch the fact that now they resemble a little bit more the old school NFL teams than they did 20 years ago when they came in.
Yeah, and one thing you've really seen now is a team that is, you'll go to games and you'll see, and Charlotte obviously has been a city that's been very transient. And a lot of people that come into the city that have been fans of other teams, and you're starting to see people who have grown up Panther fans. And so they are Panther fans, as opposed to you go to a game and it's, half the stadium is other fans. Well, when the team's successful now people aren't selling away their tickets like they used to do to fans of the opposing team. So, again, that maturity, that people growing up as Panther fans, things are changing.
Unless the Cowboys come to town. And then,
well, they, that's a love them or hate them.
Yeah, it's
don't
certainly
ask me. I'm an old Redskin fan. I hate the Cowboys anyway.
Brett, you've been around the racing game now 30 plus years, tooling up and down pit road on Saturdays and Sundays. Cliche question that I got asked a lot a couple of years ago. What have you noticed, maybe a couple of the biggest fundamental changes in the NASCAR universe in your time?
I think number one is safety. I mean, you think about back when we first started doing it, the guys going over the walls weren't wearing helmets or fire suits. Obviously in the Cup Series, going to the single lug has made a change. It's funny, I'll listen back on Sirius sometimes, and they this time of year they're running some of the classic races, and you hear what Harris calling pit stops again. Oh, it's a 17 second pit stop. Wow. Now it's like, now it's, we're talking about 9 second pit stops and how amazing that is. It's just, it's been watching it over the period of time just get faster and faster. But I think, from a pit reporter standpoint, as we talked about, as you and I talked about as we were wrapping up the Pit Reporter show after 26 seasons, looking in the media center, how much it's changed, how the sport has been covered. I mean, we had a media center full of beat writers for newspapers.
Right.
Well, there just aren't newspapers anymore. Or what newspapers are left aren't staffing. None of them have beat writers anymore for NASCAR. Now we're looking at a media center full of .coms. Not there's any, some of our best friends are .com people. You talk about it. Chris Knight and Jerry Jordan and people like that, they're all .coms. But that's how it's being covered. But even, I think the thing that's really changed is now you're having to respond to people who are on Twitter during the course of a race. And what you've lost is the water cooler talk for the next day, is where something will happen. And, it used to be, all right, let's take some time to digest it. You hear somebody's reaction after the race as to why they did this or why that happened. And then you talk about it at the water cooler the next day. Now, there's no wait until you hear somebody explain it after a race. or talk about why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's an immediate reaction on X that people are now having to react to. They're not waiting. And it's like I said, this is fans for the most part, not media. But now you're having to react to that immediately. And there's no wait until you hear an explanation. That's changed a lot of ways how the sport's being covered.
No, I agree. Everything's got to be done. And you can't wait till the next day to tell a story. That's why long form reporting has gone by the wayside, because I don't have to wait. I know what happened instantaneously. In your time of covering this, you've seen a lot of really, really accomplished drivers. Are there a couple that have stood above the rest? And is there somebody that you've admired that maybe isn't super obvious among the Jimmy Johnsons and Jeff Gordons of the world?
Oh, I tell you, you know, it's just, you think back to all the guys, and obviously you talk about, you know, obviously Dale Earnhardt comes to mind, and he was just, it was funny. You used to listen to Jeff Bodine, or Jeffrey Bodine, as he likes to go by now, bemoan how that, you know, Earnhardt would pull up behind somebody and they'd get out of the way. He goes, I pull up behind him and they don't get out of the way.
Yep.
And it just irritate the heck out of Jeffrey Bodine because of Earnhardt's reputation. And, you know, I just, so many of these guys just are so talented. I don't understand why he's not more popular is Joey Logano. I've a three-time champion. He does everything that you would want a champion to do as far as getting out there, interacting with the fans. You know, he comes on Sirius almost weekly during the season, takes calls from fans
that don't like him.
And call and tell him that I don't like you, but I like you doing this.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why he's not more popular, but it's just, and he's probably more popular than we realize, but he still gets a lot of boos at the races. And so, you know, they're just, that's one of the guys that it's kind of baffles me that why he still gets a lot of boos, because he's doing everything that you would want a champion to do. That it's, you know, but like you said, there are guys like, I mean, Jeff Gordon has always been a class act. I've always liked Jeff Gordon. He's always gotten it, you know, reaching out to young fans. Jimmy Johnson's always super, super nice guy. And it's, and
almost too nice.
Yeah, and fans criticize him for being too vanilla. I said, you forget, this is a guy that hurt himself surfing on a golf cart. Quick story, I was doing an appearance at Kentucky Speedway with him, and back when they were doing stuff, they'd have kids build little kit cars. And I said, I know you drive your kids to school. I said, what's playing on the car radio? And he goes, I am so sick of Taylor Swift. I said, I know all of her songs. It was such a dad answer. You forget these are real people and that have the same problems as parents that you and I have.
I get it. For me, it was the Spice Girls. So I appreciate that. Brett, you had a heck of a run with the Pit Reporters, 26 years. One of the things about that show was the simplicity of the format. It was you and two media folks.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, because it was your idea and you're the one that picked me to do it. But it was, you know, we always sold it as sitting around the media center on a Sunday morning, just talking. And it was a matter of, you know, just picking the right topics and letting the people be themselves, you know, and have their opinions and not get in their way. They were the stars of the show. I just tried to keep it going and getting in and out of breaks.
You did a great job. Congratulations on a wonderful career there. I know you're going to be back on some races this year with PRN, and it's always good to catch up with you. And thanks for sharing some time with us here on Fast Talk.
Always a pleasure, Doug. Anytime.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. 4 inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory.
This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on the Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
We're thrilled today on Fast Talk to be talking with one of the co-anchors from the Motor Racing Network, and that is Alex Hayden. Alex, I trust that you have had an entertaining what is off-season, or now I think we've been told that we're supposed to refer to it as the non-racing season.
It seems that's the proper way to say it, because there was a time, as you well know, Doug, that the off season was truly off. You had time off. That's not necessarily the case anymore. But no, I have had a great quote unquote off season. I got married back in December for the first time in my life. So my 55 year record of being a bachelor is out the window. So that was great. Filling my time doing a lot of college basketball as well. Now focused 100% on racing, still mixing in a lot of college basketball through the month of January leading up to the Hall of Fame induction. But I'm excited about the 2026 NASCAR season across the board.
So let's talk a little bit about your basketball. What team are you covering and how much of this are you doing?
Yeah, I do the University of Mount Olive, which is NCAA Division II. It's a great school. It's about a half an hour south of where I live over here in Eastern North Carolina. And I do all their home games up until, depending on racing season. Of course, basketball starts 1st of November, so I had to miss a couple of the games right at the beginning of the season. And going through February, I'll only be able to do the games on the weekdays. So it's fun. It's nice to get out and get out of my comfort zone, because here in 2026, we'll begin my 30th year calling NASCAR races on MRN. And to have the opportunity to do something different is a lot of fun. And not only that, but the University of Mount Olive has started a broadcasting program. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to come in and speak to the classes and help them and try to mentor them and say, hey, here's real world experience. What you see in coming up with cute, funky little catchphrases has a place, but not every time you open your mouth. And that's the big thing I've learned with these young kids that want to break into the business that we're in broadcasting, is they the traditional way of saying what you see is kind of going out the window to try to be cute, try to be funny. What can you say to be the show? And that's the big thing I've been trying to teach. You're not the show. The athletes, whether they're race car drivers or basketball, football, whatever the case may be, they are the show. It's our job just simply to tell everybody who's not there what's going on.
It feels like everybody wants to create the next Chris Berman back moment.
100%. 100%. And again, that's what made Chris Berman Chris Berman, is he found a niche that was something totally different. The late Stuart Scott doing SportsCenter, coming up with As Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow, the Booyah, all these different things. That was his separation. Well, I encourage a lot of these kids, I'll use my name in this, but hey, Alex Hayden, you're Alex Hayden. There is no other Alex Hayden. Be Alex Hayden. And that's kind of what I'm trying to get across to a lot of these aspiring young broadcasters, is be yourself and be who you are. Don't be somebody else, because we've already had that.
And that's a tough lesson to teach, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It is, because there's so much out there now, and with the internet and so many different outlets and ways to stream and have your own program, whether it's a podcast or calling a basketball game for your high school. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of avenues out there, but which is good. Don't get me wrong. That's really good, because reps are everything, no matter what you're doing, whether you're an athlete or a broadcaster. Reps are everything. And the old quote unquote seat time is something you need. But you also have to learn the art and the craft of broadcasting, as opposed to just going out there and doing it.
Yeah, you have to learn the bread and butter stuff.
Right.
Down and distance and score. And then you can add all the other stuff,
right,
to
because
it.
That's what I encouraged, you know, listen to it, because at some point you're going to get frustrated, because you don't know when somebody's going to get in the car. Might be in the middle of the second half of a basketball game. They're going to sit down in the car. They want to know where we're at in the game, what the score is, and any kind of major scenarios that have taken place. Is somebody in foul trouble? Things of that nature. So constantly reset. Give those types of things. And we'll do some live streaming as well with the video side of it. But I encourage them to do the play-by-play radio style. That way, you can go back and you can watch it and listen to yourself, critique yourself. Did I actually describe this properly? Am I repeating myself, using the same adjectives and saying the same thing over and over? So it is. It's fun. It's fun to be able to give back and challenge these young people, and quite honestly, challenge myself, because I stepped out of my comfort zone. I went and did a UMO wrestling match, a women's wrestling match.
Wow.
I didn't know there was such a thing until they said, hey, you want to try this? It's like, yes, I want to try this. I want to get out of my comfort zone. So doing field hockey, men's and women's lacrosse, which, by the way, are totally different sets of rules and different markings on the field. Didn't know that. So there's a lot that goes on to it that I think only makes me better.
Well, that's awesome that you're getting to branch out. One last thing before we jump into the NASCAR universe. You talked about doing Division II. The young quarterback for Ole Miss, when they just beat Georgia, he is a testament to Division II has some real talent.
Yeah, Ferris State is where he played and won national championships there. If I'm not mistaken, they've won, four of the last five Division II football national championships. So it is a golden opportunity. And we all know, I played football, basketball, and baseball in high school. Played hockey on the side, ice hockey on the side. And I had enough talent to start and to be an athlete in high school. But I also was smart enough to know at 5'7", and at the time, 150, I wasn't going any further than that. And I had to come up with something different. So the opportunity to play past high school at another level is completely different. And the NCAA level, whether it's D1, D2, D3, NAIA, JUCO, doesn't matter. Get out, and if you have the chance to play at the next level, take full advantage of it. It is really good athletics, especially D2, because a lot of these players and these kids come from Division I because they weren't necessarily going to be the blue chips, and they had a chance to go back and play really good athletics.
Alex, you mentioned you've been doing the NASCAR thing now for 3 decades. I'll frame that a little bit differently, and congratulations on having a wonderful career. Are you sometimes amazed and pinch yourself at the change that we've all seen in this sport, in a sport that was non-transient? The schedule was the same from year to year, and nothing changed to where we are now, heading into now 2026.
I do. I do have to sit back and just kind of shake my head at how much has changed. And I used to be, when I was younger, kind of set in my ways. We all were when we were in our 20s. We think we know everything. And I was set in my ways. I loved the sport that we had at the time. And there were some changes that were proposed that they implemented that I thought, what are we doing? This isn't right. One of those being the advent of the free pass, the lucky dog, if you will. These race teams work so hard to put the competition a lap down and get that advantage, just to have it given right back to whoever's the first car a lap down when a caution flag flew. I was against that. But as that has grown, the more I've accepted it, because the strategy comes into play. And the older I've gotten, obviously, they say wisdom comes with age. And I have really learned to really embrace change, because it's good. Not all of it. NASCAR themselves, they'll be the first to stand up and say there's been some changes that just didn't work. But I applaud, and I applaud our industry for having the courage to make changes. Sometimes they're going to work, sometimes they're not. And the jury's going to be out, and they'll let you know quickly what the verdict is on those.
I would have never imagined this sanctioning body having a race on a street course, much less in downtown Chicago, Illinois.
Let alone five road course races, or six, or seven on a calendar year. No, I'm with you on that. Downtown Chicago, they proved that they could take the sport to the people that don't have NASCAR tracks. And let's face it, nobody's lining up with millions and millions of dollars, perhaps billion dollars, to build new racetracks to hold NASCAR racing. It's just not happening. So the tracks that we do have, some of them have fallen into disrepair, and it would cost an extreme amount of money. As everybody knows, money and the cost of everything's gone up to get tracks refurbished back where they can hold a NASCAR world-class level race. So what can we do as a sport? Well, let's take it to the streets. And they proved that they can do that. Heck, I thought it was impressive when we ran the Clash in the LA Coliseum, where you can build a racetrack inside of a football stadium and put on a pretty good show. So I think there's avenues out there. Yes, they both cost a lot of money to do. We know that. And we know now what some of those financials are. But the fact of the matter is it can be done.
Well, you are 100% correct. I don't think there will ever be a new motor speedway built anywhere. The capital to do that, the ROI on something like that would be outrageous, and you would never make your money back.
No, you won't. And I think smart business people know that. They have a lot of money because they're good and they're smart with their money. Nobody's just going to come up and say, hey, I've got 900 mil. Let's build ourselves a nice mile high bank track right in the heart of downtown, pick a city. So no, it's not realistic. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's very realistic at this point in time.
We're talking with Alex Hayden. Alex, of course, one of the co-anchors for the Motor Racing Network, currently inspiring new minds and raising a new generation of broadcasters. We'll continue our chat right after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Alex Hayden is our guest from the Motor Racing Network on our media editions of Fast Talk, which we've really enjoyed. And Alex, we were talking about racing in Chicago in the street course. I'm very jealous of you and everybody this coming year that is scheduled to go to San Diego to race on a Naval Air Station base. Have you gotten a grip of what you're going to see when you go out there yet?
In my mind, I have, and I've been on Google Earth looking at the layout that has been since put out by NASCAR, what the track is going to look like, just trying to wrap my mind around it. I've been to San Diego a couple of times, never obviously been on Naval Base Coronado. You just can't drive out there. In my mind, I think I'm ready, but Doug, you know this as well as anybody. You think you're ready to go. Think back to you on the Roval. They say, hey, we're going to run NASCAR on a Roval here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. In your mind, you can look at the infield from the PRN broadcast booth and see it. But until there are cars on the track, you have no idea. And I think that's where I'm at. And I think that's the experience part of me that I'm so excited about this event. But I honestly have no idea what this is going to be like. And I think that's part of the fun.
And I think also, too, it's going to be a hit if the weather cooperates, and it should at San Diego. It will be a hit because the venue will win for the day.
Absolutely right about that. And I don't know the particulars. A lot of this hasn't been announced, but we have heard a lot of grumblings in the rumor mill, which some of the people I've been told some of these things, you can pretty well bank on it. But to have a backdrop, first of all, the Pacific Ocean right there on one side of the course, the backdrop of beautiful downtown San Diego on the other side. And oh, by the way, naval warships, including giant aircraft carriers. I've been lobbying to try to put our broadcast booth on the deck and have an outdoor broadcast booth on the deck of an aircraft carrier. Nobody's listening to me.
They should. You should. You can put a monitor up there.
Yes, but you know, I think it's going to be something that it's going to be memorable and it will be a lifetime of memories for a lot of people. There's going to be so many snapshots. And think about the Masters Golf Tournament. Every year, it's the same golf course. Yeah, they'll lengthen it here and there and change a green every now and then. But every year, there are photographers that take these shots of the pink azaleas and the dogwoods and the bright green grass and the perfect sand in the bunkers. And every year we look at those in awe. Those are snapshots. And I think there are going to be snapshots of NASCAR race cars on this naval base with the backdrop and the setting that we have. That's going to go on forever.
No, I'm kind of thinking about that in my head. You know, there's going to be a straightaway shot and there'll be an F-18 parked in the background. And I just can't wait. I really, really applaud NASCAR for this. Alex, this is a question I've asked about everybody on here. Is there anyone currently racing in NASCAR that can be that next driver that transcends the NASCAR fan bubble and that people that don't even watch NASCAR are going to be aware of, such as they were with Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart? And Dale Jr. doesn't count because he just doesn't count. Is there somebody in our game right now that's so big that you could be in aisle 13 of your local supermarket and there's a cutout of them selling you donuts or whatever?
As we sit right at this very moment, sadly, I don't see that. However, I will add this footnote. We have the potential to have a couple of those drivers be that person, but they haven't, in my opinion, embraced it. And I love Chase Elliott. I do. I think he's a wonderful talent. I think he's a great human being, great family, and he and I are buddies. But being the most popular driver, I don't think he's taking full advantage. I think, and quite honestly, I don't know that he wants to be that person to host Saturday Night Live like Jeff Gordon did, to transcend NASCAR to a completely mainstream pop culture type of icon. Chase is a private person, and I 100% respect that and support him in that role. But if he really wanted to, I think Chase Elliott could be that guy. I think Kyle Larson could be that guy too. But Kyle loves racing so much, he doesn't have free time to go do these other things. He'd rather be behind the wheel of a race car or with his families. And you can't fault him for that either. So I think we have potential for that with a couple of people. I just don't think realistically they just want that in their lives at this point.
And the other thing that you have to do in all of this is win. Not two or three races a year. You've got to win a bunch. You have to be in the headlines to sustain that. I often thought Chastain could be that guy, but you can't do that and win one race a year.
There's something else I'll add to that, and I agree with what you said 100%. The other thing about it, too, and it's just a product of where we are in 2026 with our sport. I mentioned a moment ago, the cost of rent goes up for everybody. Everything, the cost goes up, which includes putting race cars on the racetrack. I think one of the things back in the 90s and 2000s that enabled a Jeff Gordon or a Tony Stewart to be that person is they had the recognizable paint scheme every single week. They had the same sponsor on the race car. When you think of Jeff Gordon, you thought of the DuPont colors. It was the DuPont Chevrolet. And yeah, they changed paint schemes every 4 years, but they were similar paint schemes. So people had something to identify that driver with. You can wear the DuPont rainbow jacket around, and everybody knew who that was without even reading the autograph that's sewn onto the front of the jacket. Well, to put a race car on the track now, do we have one sponsor? I know Ally has been that sponsor with Alex Bowman. That's been basically the only sponsor of the 48 car, with the occasional charity that he puts on with his dogs and the Humane Society. But
maybe Joey Logano with Pennzoil for the most part.
Right, but he still runs the green Hunt Brothers scheme. He'll run the red, white, and blue AAA scheme. He'll run the orange and blue Auto Trader scheme. So I don't think we have the brand recognition that enables that type of soaring popularity because it's something different on the track every week. But again, that's the sport and that's the business side that we're in right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. And it's going to require a big personality and it's going to require winning. And those two combos don't always come along together. Alex, we've gotten to a point in this game, the last eight drivers standing this past year in the playoffs were all from the three big teams, Penske, Gibbs, Hendrick. Is there a chance for a fourth or a fifth organization to crack that ceiling and get in there and play with these titans of the industry right now?
I think there's always a chance, and I think the team that comes to mind right off the bat is Trackhouse Racing, given the fact that they have a driver and their driver leader in Ross Chastain that I think can jump up and win. I think he's that talented. What he did in the Coca-Cola 600 back on Memorial Day weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway in a backup car, no practice laps in it, starts last and wins the race, that takes an enormous amount of teamwork, let alone driver talent. Throw in Shane Van Gisbergen, who we know is going to be a threat on road courses. But they have hit on something, and I saw him on an interview here in the last, 3 weeks or so, just a side-off interview he did. It wasn't a mainstream outlet, but I saw it, and he said that the team had the opportunity to try different setups on ovals, and they hit on something. And we noticed at the end of the year, SVG was running really well on ovals. So you don't ever know. I think he's talented enough to jump up and be a contender for the title. Who knows what Connor Zilich is going to do in the Cup Series? He's got the world at his feet as far as talent goes right now. But I think Trackhouse, the thing about it, Doug, to me is when NASCAR introduced this Gen 7 race car, and I don't want to call it the next gen, it's the Gen 7 now. When they introduced this car, it leveled the playing field. But over time, the cream always rises to the top. And the teams with the most resources, i.e. money to spend on engineering, to figure these cars out more are going to be the teams to beat. And the big teams, you mentioned Hendrick, Penske, Gibbs, they are the teams with the most resources right now in our garage area, and they are the teams. It's not a coincidence that they are the teams to beat.
You mentioned Shane Van Gisbergen, and I find him a fascinating study. Is he that much better on the road courses than anybody else right now?
I think he was. I think the gap is going to close. And the reason I think that is because just the law of averages. Somebody tends to always find an advantage, but the garage finds a way to catch up. And he is exceptionally talented on road courses with his footwork, the way he shifts gears, the way he uses the clutch downshifting, where a lot of other drivers just didn't do that because of the sequential shifting. They didn't have to, But now it's out there that he's doing that. And with the high technology we have in these simulators, drivers are learning these types of techniques. So I think he's exceptionally talented, the best road course racer, and he's still going to be the guy to beat in 26 when we're turning left and right. But I think the gap is going to close, and by the time I think year 2027 gets here, I think SVG's going to have his hands full on road courses.
Well, he's got one less win in his pocket as far as a chance to win six road course races this year. There it's only five. Alex, always a pleasure to chat with you. Find it interesting, and I'm really proud that you're helping teach young people about broadcasting that needs to be done by a pro like yourself. And I hope you and your comrades at the Motor Racing Network have an awesome 2026 over there.
Well, thank you. And it's a privilege to be a part of this show, that the history this show has. It's a privilege to be on with you. And Doug, you're a legend, my friend. And thank you for the time. I appreciate it. And let's go racing.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Need a break? A break from the grind? The stress? We have just the place. A place where you can let your inner thrill billy out. Bristol Motor Speedway, April 10th through the 12th for the NASCAR Food City 500 Triple Header Weekend. 3 days, three races, two night races, one epic weekend. Don't just take a break, race to it. Get your tickets, upgrades, and more now at bristolmotorspeedway.com. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
We very much appreciate the gift of the time from Brett McMillan and Alex Hayden. Brett McMillan, of course, the 26-year host of the PRN Pit Reporters, and Alex Hayden, now the co-anchor on the Motor Racing Network. He shares those duties with MRN's Mike Bagley. Thanks a lot, guys. Next week, Danielle Trotta and Doug Turnbull will be on the show. Can't wait to talk to both of them. Very interesting individuals. And if there is a media personality from the NASCAR universe that you would like for us to interview, it's easy. Just reach out to me at Riceman61. That's on X, formerly known as Twitter. We'll do our best to try to track these people down. We've really enjoyed these shows. We've had some great commentary, and we've at least got one or two more of these shows before we get back to our regular scheduled week in and week out programming here on Fast Talk. For my producer, Kent Bernhardt, we thank all of you for making us a part, and we'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.